Good morning. You are tuned to KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:03 a.m. I'm Kathleen Gustafson with the Thursday regular COVID-19 brief. Let's check in on the panel. Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer, do you read me?
Hi, Kathleen. It's Jenny.
Good morning. And Nurse Lorne Carroll from the Alaska Department of Public Health and Social Services.
Hi, team, and Kathleen, you're loud and clear.
Good morning. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dorotha. So if anyone has any questions for the panel, they can call. Chloe is standing by on the phones, 235-7721. And let's start with Jenny Carroll from the city. Jenny, I read yesterday that the Kenai City Hall is opening up. When will Homer be making those decisions about opening up City Hall again?
Yeah, the city has been working through the different openings of the phases of Reopen Alaska to put protective measures in place so that the City Hall and other places around our other facilities can be following the health guidelines that the state has put out for how to operate our businesses safely to help us be more COVID-proof. So many of our services are open, like bill paying more remotely. But we are working with Public Works to put in shields and various public face-to-face counters. And when we have everything in place, we'll be rolling out some openings.
Thanks for that, Jenny. And mm-hmm. Nurse Lorne Carroll, can you update us on statewide numbers for testing?
For testing, I don't have that in front of me. No, Kathleen. Do you want to hear numbers of cases?
That is exactly what I want to hear.
Okay. Well, looking globally, we're at 5 million cases and 325,000 reported deaths. So those are reported numbers globally. And so just putting this in the context of history of H1N1 back in 2009, there was an estimated 284,000 deaths. So we've surpassed that. In the U.S., we have a reported 1.5 million cases, 93,000 deaths in the United States reported thus far. And out of that 1.5 million, 294,000 have recovered. So we often get a question, how in the world are those numbers reported? Those numbers are reported and possibly because of the local public health system. So that's public health professionals working in concert with the existing healthcare system to funnel that information back to a centralized place and report the numbers back. Here at home in Alaska, we're at 399 cases as of the last reporting period, 399 reported cases, 43 hospitalizations thus far, 10 deaths to date for COVID-19, and out of the 399, 348 have recovered so far. So along the peninsula, we've had 6 in Kenai so far, 3 over in Seward, 6 reported in Soldotna, 3 up in Sterling, 2 in Anchor Point, and out of the 4 reported cases for Homer residents, we've had 4 recover.
And that the new designation of Kenai Peninsula Other, so there are, is that, that's not including Anchor Point, is it?
No, the good question, Kathleen. It's a very pretty complex system of reporting because there's so many variables. For census-designated places like Anchor Point that are 1,000 folks or more, DHSS will report for those areas. So for the example here is Anchor Point has about 1,900 for a population, and so that's how DHSS, we were able to report specifically for Anchor Point. So on Southern Kenai Peninsula, there are several census-designated places that are under 1,000 folks. Those are reported currently as Kenai Peninsula Other in the raw data. And there is a chance that DHSS may report more specifically in press releases, noting that those Kenai Peninsula other are actually on the Southern Kenai Peninsula.
Thank you, Nurse Lorne Carroll. Dorotha Ferraro, the question I meant to ask was to you about testing in Homer. Can you update us on Homer tests?
Happy to update you. So as of this morning, we had submitted 795 swabs for testing. So of those 795, 743 have returned negative, 5 have returned positive, and 47 are pending. And I would like to just remind everybody, because it's Memorial Day weekend, we might have visitors here, we might have returning summer residents, we might have summer employees, but I just want to give a quick reminder on testing in general that it is free of charge to individuals, and you do have to have a symptom, a COVID-19-like symptom. The list is long, everything from cough, runny nose, fever, headache, nausea, diarrhea. The list is very long.
Right, and you don't have to have
onset.
And you don't have to have all the symptoms.
No. Just one. And you'll be screened when you get up here, up to the hospital. So testing happens in the parking lot of the hospital, and there's a phone number that you can call when you're on your way, or once you arrive. There's signs 235-0235. And they'll screen you. They'll ask questions just to make sure that your symptom isn't related to something else. And assuming that you do have a COVID-like symptom, then you'll be swabbed. And we send our swabs up every morning. We drive them to Anchorage for processing. So the maximum turnaround time right now is 48 hours. So you will learn within 24 to 48 hours of your results. And people are asked to quarantine from the time that they test until they get their results, because if it ends up being positive, then you've limited the exposure to others. Some folks are kind of wondering, can I test instead of quarantining as I come back to the community from being gone for the winter? And no, that testing isn't an option. It's not an alternative to isolation or quarantine. It's just another tool to help diagnose.
And Nurse Lorne Carroll and Dorotha, I guess. Nurse Lorne, the requirement to quarantine for 14 days if you're coming in from out of state, is that still in place even with all the other restrictions being lifted?
Yes, that's one of our primary means of preventing the spread, the additional spread of COVID within the communities inside Alaska. The center point of that is that we know that COVID has an incubation period between 1 and 14 days. And what I mean by incubation period is the length of time between being exposed to COVID and developing signs and symptoms. So COVID-19 is what we like to call an acute disease process, meaning that it has a pretty quick turnaround. And then the turnaround for COVID is 14 days. So if folks can hunker down, not have contact with others for 14 days, if COVID is present and emerges after, say, anywhere between 1 to 14 days, then the virus will clear, and that will prevent transmission to other folks around that person.
Thank you, Nurse Lorne. Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, I would like to return back to you and ask about preparations underway for opening up services. We talked a little bit about on Tuesday morning, we heard you talk a little bit about pickleball being back. What are some of the other things that the city is getting together so that people can start recreating?
Sure. Well, Community Recreation has submitted some plans to the incident commander at the city to look over for safety protocols, and the pickleball is the first one to be opening up at the HERC. That, as I said earlier this week, that's by reservation only, and there's certain restrictions in place to help keep social distancing, keeping surfaces clean, like the pickled balls themselves. So I would encourage folks who are used to playing pickleball in a certain way to go to the City of Homer website and the Recreation tab and look in there to see some of the new things in place so that you can still get out and enjoy your exercise. I know that Mike Ilg is looking at opening up some other activities like karate classes, those kinds of things. And it's just a matter of making sure that we have the proper setup in place, everything, so that we can do it in a good manner. And as soon as we can, we will roll those out to the community, because we do know it's important, but it's equally important to keep everyone as safe as we can and do our best. We have campgrounds that are open, again, with not camping as usual, but camping as usual in our new world with COVID-19. We also have a place on our website where people can go to learn about the new way that we have our campgrounds open, and I encourage you to go there and look. We started with a reservation system, but Homer is such a popular destination that quickly became unmanageable. So it is back to a first-come, first-served basis. We have campground hosts that help to remind people about the health advisories and direct people to open spaces. There may, to the passerby, they may see, oh, my goodness, there's so many spaces not filled in there. What's going on? What do you mean it's full? Well, that's because we have our spaces distance so that we can encourage people to maintain the social distancing out there.
Thank you, Jenny.
So we're opening up bathrooms as well, are open, and we have a cleaning schedule going there, and you'll be talking with Brian Hopkins and Rachel Tussey at the end of the half-hour show here about how the Port and Harbor is open and getting busier every day that passes.
Correct. Rachel Tussey from the City and Harbor Master Brian Hopkins will be on about 9:30 this morning to take your questions. I want to get back to you and see what else is on your list of information to get out, but I just got a question from a community member who called in to 235-7721 to say they're curious about the precise definition of quarantining, because they keep seeing people out and about in the community, for example, at the dump, who claim to be quarantining. So, Nurse Lorne, or anyone who wants to weigh in on it, can you talk about the precise definition of what it means to isolate yourself for the 14 days?
Sure thing. I'll take first go, and then maybe folks can follow up. So the definition of quarantine is eliminating contact with others. And in this case, it means for 14 days. And so that means staying at home, having your food and other needed supplies delivered to you, and not having contact with others. So that would mean taking walks on trails around your home is good. But the idea being is whatever it takes to decrease contact with others in order to stop transmission of COVID. Transmission of COVID happens through exposure to respiratory droplets or secretions from others that have COVID-19 in it. So that would mean touching surfaces that have been frequently touched by others, perhaps, that have COVID.
And what about, I know that many, if not most, I don't know, I don't even think it's fair to say most people, but many people have credit cards and debit cards to pay for things and can pay for what's being brought to them without money changing hands. But there are plenty of people who don't have that luxury. And so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about handling money.
Yeah, those are all good questions. Kind of at the heart of this is being creative as you can in order to get your needs met, especially essential needs, while decreasing contact to others. And, you know, the list of scenarios is quite frankly, it's overwhelming. One way to kind of think of it is frequent and very good hand washing is one way to mitigate that and a really good comprehensive approach in terms of handling items between each other.
Thank you, Nurse Lauren. Jenny Carroll, another question has come in over the phone. I know everybody may want to take a swipe at this one, but I want to start with you, Jenny Carroll. So If five people have tested positive in the Homer area, then why does our wastewater sample come back as showing no signs of coronavirus? I do want to start by saying, you know, we're getting them later. Those aren't from when the tests come back. They're from a couple of weeks ago. Isn't that right?
That is correct. And what I also think about why we're not seeing it is our concentration is very low. We don't have, while we've had positive cases, one of the positive cases was a person who was a resident of Homer but was in Anchorage for the duration of the sickness. We have another person who is in that case count who was in Homer very briefly, I understand, left a Homer. So some of the cases aren't still here. So we have at this point a very low incident of actual positive cases, and we are watching those test results come back very closely because so far they've been COVID virus free, and that's a good sign, and we'll watch it and we'll report back as that changes. But I'd say it's because we have such low incidence right now, and some of the cases that are in our count are no longer active or in Homer.
Thank you. And another question has just come in from 235-7721. A community member is curious about the source of the latest COVID-19 positive cases. Do we know if the last two were local transmission, travel related? Can someone speak to that?
Yeah, Kathleen, I can speak to that. The last case reported, was the question for Southern Kenai Peninsula?
Yes.
Okay. The last two cases that have been reported for Southern Kenai Peninsula, the investigations and follow-up that's been done from Mary Darbone, one of the public health nurses, and Aaron Wahlbrecher, the other public health nurse, up to this point, all of the evidence is suggestive of community transmission.
Okay. And so the last one that was added to the Homer count as well, not just the Southern Kenai Peninsula. So you're saying they're all showing signs of community transmission?
Yeah, that's a good question. The last two that were reported were initially reported for Homer, but when the broader team took a closer look at those, we realized as a team that they were actually outside of Homer proper, but on Southern Kenai Peninsula. And the confusion on reporting was based upon having the word Homer in the physical address, which for the folks down here on this end of the peninsula, we know that like my address is Homer, but I live up in Fritz Creek. So working that out with the folks reporting on residency who don't live down here, it took a little bit of time. But yeah, those two cases, the investigation definitely points at perhaps not travel related, but the suggestion from the evidence is that there is community transmission, certainly on Southern Kenai Peninsula.
Thank you, Nurse.
Kathleen,
I would like to add
on to that of, you know, why is that important? You know, our reporting on the cases, that it's in the census district or if it's in the city of Homer. And it matters in that we're keeping small population places, we're providing them the full benefit of HIPAA regulations for keeping people's personal health information as private as possible. We are in a public health situation, though, so it is important for us to know that it is in our census area. There is COVID transmission in Homer in our area with populations that utilize Homer services, businesses, those kinds of things. And what the real message is that we still need to be taking our preventative measures seriously because it's there. So that's really the importance of, I think, the reporting of cases, is to know if we are still seeing it in the area, how it's being transmitted. And the public health nurses have done a great job at walking that fine balance between everybody really wanting to know all the specifics about the case, but allowing each individual person with the COVID virus their personal protections of their privacy and health information. So kudos to them, and it could feel frustrating to folks in the community to say, why aren't there more details about these cases? And I just want to step back and say the main detail is that it's still active here. So while things are changing pretty quickly on the state level, as far as opening up, we all still need to stay in a maintenance mode. And I know for myself, when I think about maintaining like my house or my ability to still hike up a mountain at my age, that takes a bit of effort and time, that's for sure, as does our new approach to how we do things in our community so that everybody remains healthy and safe and we can keep our businesses open. I just wanted to get that out there.
That's
really the important message.
That explains why people who are following the City of Homer's COVID-19 webpage saw numbers that were added to the Homer list that were then taken off. So thank you for that explanation. I have a new question come through. A community member is curious if rashes and hives are a possible symptom of COVID-19.
I'll take a first go and happy to share answers with anyone. The short answer is yes, and for a couple of reasons. The potential signs and symptoms of COVID-19 are very broad and can include no signs and symptoms.
Anybody else want to add to that?
I'm kind of waiting for Dorotha to come on, but
rashes
are one of the potential symptoms. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Jenny Carroll from the city. And here's one more question that just came through to 2357721. It says, when will the other Kenai Peninsula category be further defined, for example, into specific neighborhoods like Diamond Ridge or Kachemak City?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Kenai Peninsula numbers, DHSS has arranged reporting like that because this is really a new, COVID-19's brand new. We've never been here as a community. And in 2009 H1N1, we had a lot of cases, but we didn't have the reporting systems and technology to share quantitative data with the broad public like we do today. But the Kenai Peninsula Borough Other will only be, that number is reserved for the census designated places on the Kenai that are below 1,000. So if there are census designated places of residents that have a case under 1,000, they will be reported only as specific as Kenai Peninsula Other. So the example here would be if there's a case in Fritz Creek, for example. Fritz Creek population is about 1,900, so that number would show up not in Kenai Peninsula Other, but it would show up in Fritz Creek.
Thank you, Nurse Lori.
I would also like to add into that for people who are concerned that perhaps, you know, there is community transmission in their general neighborhood area, that the public health nurses do a fantastic job on contact tracing. So if there is a case that you may have been in close contact with, rest assured the public health nurses will be contacting you about that situation. So that's another safeguard if the information doesn't come out in a press release, rest assured that the public health nurses will be contacting you if indeed you could possibly be a close contact.
And a community member just called in with the comment, just to add in about the wastewater testing, that to remind us that a lot of the local population isn't on the water system. There's lots of rural and backwoods living and dry cabins and such. So that may have an effect on it as well. So I want to give last call, because it's just about time to switch topics and move to Harbor Master Brian Hawkins and Rachel Tussey from the City of Homer. Get your questions ready about the port and harbor. So Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, is there anything else you've got on your list today?
Sure. I just want to remind everyone to have a great, happy Memorial Day weekend. Be cautious with fires out there. Be safe. And I wanted to give a big shout out to our EMS crews in the Southern Kenai Peninsula and everywhere, actually. It's been EMS Appreciation Week, and we sure appreciate the work that they do with the community. So I want to put a challenge out there to everybody. Since it's been EMS Week, let's be safe and cautious out there and give the EMS a break this weekend if you can.
Thank you, Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. How about Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital?
You bet. Just a couple things. One, follow up on symptoms. If you have any sudden onset of a new unexplained symptom, that is your cue to call the COVID nurse or head up to the hospital parking lot. And what if you're not in Homer? COVID19.alaska.gov has a map of Alaska, and you zoom in on it, and it shows all of the places in the state of Alaska that do COVID-19 testing. So no matter where you're recreating or where you're working or visiting, you have always 24/7 access to that information. So don't wait until you come home to get tested. Get tested the minute you have a sudden onset of a new symptom. And the majority of hospital and hospital-related services are available. So after you enjoy the Memorial Day weekend, get back to taking care of your health. The providers are available to you.
And thank you, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. How about Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services?
Hey, Kathleen. I just want to say thanks for securing the space for us to meet weekly. You know, I was kind of thinking about how COVID-19 offers such a unique opportunity for folks to not only learn more about all of the points that contribute to a healthy community, but it offers a place for folks to actively contribute to improving the health of our community. So it's kind of thinking, I wish that these shows were more like 8 hours long, so that might not be possible. So here's a couple of resources. If you have questions or any just kind of comments or feedback, we'd love to hear it. COVIDquestions@alaska.gov would be one place. COVIDquestions@alaska.gov. And you can shoot me an email anytime, too. It's lorne.carroll@alaska.gov. That's lorne.carroll@alaska.gov. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you so much, Nurse Lauren Carroll and Dorotha Ferrar from South Peninsula Hospital.